Im Wald, eine Kulturgeschichte, der Podcast.
In the Forest, a cultural history. The podcast for the exhibition of the same name at the National Museum Zurich, as a complement to the exhibition or for when you're out and about. This episode is about the description of the forest, of forests, in art and literature.
Die Literatur ist in der Lage, dem Sprachlosen.
Literature is, so to speak, able to lend a voice to the speechless, to trees, animals, the sea, the wind, allowing us readers to better understand their inner being.
Sagt der Literaturwissenschaftler Stefan Zweifel. Literatur,
says the literary scholar Stefan Zweifel. Literature as a forest narrator. But first, let's hear what art has to say about the forest with Regula Mosel, curator of the exhibition In the Forest, a Cultural History. She answers the questions of Christoph Kello.
Wann ist der Wald in die Kunst gekommen?
When did the forest first appear in art? Is it true, as it is commonly said, that forests only began to appear in Romanticism in the early 19th century? No, says Regula Mosel.
Of course, it is not so that forests and trees never appear in Western art before the age of Romanticism.
Aber dann nur als Nebenmotiv, als Hintergrund.
But then only as a secondary motif, as a background, not as a pictorial subject in its own right. For this, a transition, a different view, a new perspective was required, but only much later.
Und zwar gibt es dieses Moment, wo ein Francesco Petrarca.
There is this moment when Francesco Petrarca climbs Mont Ventoux in 1336. And he does this with no other intention than to contemplate the landscape, nothing else. In a way, one could say that this incident represents the first recorded experience of landscape and the world respectively. And this gaze into the distance subsequently also gave rise to the linear perspective in Renaissance painting.
Die Renaissance als Zeitenwende. Und es entstanden daraus
the Renaissance as a turning point in time, but there were various styles that dealt with partial aspects of the forest early on. For example,
das sogenannte Sottobosco, also die Waldstillleben, das ist etwas, das sich in den Niederlanden.
The so-called Sottobosco, or forest still life, is something that became established in the Netherlands in the 17th century. Where artists devoted themselves to the forest undergrowth, not only with an imaginary, but with a scientific eye.
Aber dann, sagt Regula Moser, tauchte auf der Wald in der Kunst, in der Romantik.
But then, says Regula Moser, the forest emerges in art, in Romanticism, namely with tremendous power.
Der Wald als Stimmungsbild ist.
The forest as an atmospheric image is very strongly connected with Romanticism and with the ideas of Romanticism. I'm immediately reminded of Caspar David Friedrich's painting, who is particularly involved with the forest, not least with the motif of forest solitude. In one of his paintings, we see a hunter in a snow-covered forest, and on a tree stump in the foreground, there is a raven singing his death song.
Ein vielgestaltiger Wald als Motiv, als ein Gegenüber, als Projektionsfläche für die großen Gefühle.
A diverse, complex forest as a motif, as counterpart, and as a surface for the projection of the great sentiments. The forest as a deep, unfathomable place, as complex as the human soul, so to speak.
Es ist so in der Romantik.
One of the hallmarks of Romanticism is that the forest is seen throughout as an idyllic place of yearning, as a place of retreat, but also as a realm of the unreachable, the dangerous, the unpredictable, and the mysterious. And this is reflected in literature as well as art.
Ein schier unerschöpflicher Fund.
An almost inexhaustible fund. But then disruption followed.
Dann folgt das Zeitalter des Naturalismus.
There came the age of naturalism, of precise observation of nature, of meticulous depictions, for example in the work of the well-known Lucerne painter Robert Zünd.
Robert Zünd versucht tatsächlich ein Stück sichtbare Welt wiederzugeben.
Robert Zünd actually tries to reproduce a piece of the visible forest one to one. For example, He meticulously devotes himself to the foliage in his studies of trees, by tracing nature directly with the aid of glass plates in his sketches.
Eine fast schon fotografische Annäherung an den Wald.
An almost photographic approach to the forest, says Regula Mosel.
Und er malt mehrfach.
And he paints this oak forest several times. Or another popular motif is the beech forest.
Mit einer Präzision, die seine
Zeitgenossen that did not fail to provoke criticism from his contemporaries.
So sah beispielsweise Arnold Böcklin.
Arnold Böcklin, for example, saw in this a cardinal error, maintaining that one could hardly see the forest for trees.
Aber was verbirgt sich hinter dieser Ästhetik?
But what lies behind this aestheticization of the forest? An approach we also find in modified form in Ferdinand Hodler's work.
Auch hier gibt es ein wunderbares frühes Beispiel von ihm, der Buchenwald.
There is a wonderful early example, the beech forest of 1880. In this work, we see trees reaching up into the sky. For Hodler, this meant that everything had its place in the world, reflecting a clear sense of order and regularity.
Ist es eine Gesetzmäßigkeit, eine Ordnung, hinter der sich auch eine Gefährdung, eine Bedrohung verbirgt, in einer Zeit gegen Ende des 19. Jahrhunderts, in der Wälder ganz
real... Regularity, an order, which, however, also conceals a danger. A threat at a time towards the end of the 19th century when forests were under real threat from clear-cutting and exploitation. This is particularly visible in Ferdinand Hodler's famous painting, The Woodcutter.
Er zeigt hier einen archaisch-heroischen Menschen, der...
Here we see an archaic, heroic man in attempt to conquer nature, only to find himself in a bleak and barren landscape.
Also der Mensch ist sich selbst zur größten Bedrohung.
Man has become the greatest threat to himself.
Und damit sind wir auch mit einem großen zeitlichen
With a great leap in time, this brings us to an age in which art becomes activist, namely with Joseph Beuys.
Es gibt einen ganz wichtigen Bruch, und zwar passiert der Mitte
We have this very important break in the middle of the 20th century, and it involves the action artist Joseph Beuys. He triggers a first wave of ecological activism in the middle of the 20th century, incidentally at the very moment that Greenpeace is founded in 1971.
Seine Objekte, seine Aktionen, alles verstand
Everything he created, his objects, his actions, Joseph Beuys understood as forms of social sculptures, including his Stadtverwaltung statt Stadtverwaltung, 1972.
Nur 10 Jahre später schaffte er es an der
Only 10 years later, in 1982, he literally managed to carry 7,000 oak trees into the city of Kassel as part of Documenta 7.
Eine Haltung, mit der Beuys andere inspirierte.
An attitude with which Beuys inspired others and gave art a new direction.
Die Kunst bekam hier einen ganz bewusst
Here, art took on a deliberately ecological, political character. And with the same determination as Beuys, Christo and Jean-Claude then continued this elaborate project by covering trees and even architectural structures. For it is only when everything around us is not merely covered, but has completely disappeared, that we become aware of it.
Kunst als ein Ort der Bewusstwerdung über den Wald, über seine
so
Gefährdung.
Art as a space of becoming aware of the forest, its endangerment, of the threat to humanity in general. But what about in other genres of art? Literature?
Das Problem ist beim Wald und der Literatur, und das haben viele Autoren gemerkt.
The relationship between forest and literature has been addressed by many authors, including the Swiss Robert Walser, who has written a great deal about the forest. According to him, the forest is actually something very poetic, and many poems have been written about the forest. But to really describe the forest is impossible,
sagt der Literaturwissenschaftler.
Says the literary scholar Stefan Zweifel.
Man kommt aus dem Wald raus und sagt, fragt jemand, wie
You step out of the forest and someone asks you, how was it in the forest? And you say, it was nice, oh, it was beautiful, but in the end, oh is just about as far as you get. Because it's incredibly difficult to describe the forest, the play of colors, the sounds, all that.
Und dennoch hat der Wald in der Literatur einen festen
And yet, the forest has a firm place in literature. Here, too, as in art, not from the beginning and not everywhere, and as in art, the forest appears in literature only quite late, with the era of Enlightenment, and above all, with Jean-Jacques Rousseau.
Mitte des 18. Jahrhunderts tauchen immer
in the middle of the 18th century, we come across more and more descriptions of forests, and it was in this context that Jean-Jacques Rousseau from Geneva, who also coined the slogan Back to Nature, said that people should no longer live in cities, but return to crawling across meadows on all fours and become immersed in the grass and the flowers. Don't forget, this is exactly what he experienced when he left Paris and came to Switzerland, to the Jura, and began roaming through the forests or practically living in exile on St. Peter's Island in the middle of Lake Biel. Here he was totally at one with nature.
Der Wald war nicht nur ein Erlebnisort, nicht nur ein Erfahrungsort.
For Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the forest was not only a place of experience, he also wrote here.
Er bezeichnet die Wälder als meine Schreibstube.
He called the woods my writing room. Moreover, he left behind various herbaria. He not only collected leaves and blossoms on these strolls, he also carried playing cards on him on which he wrote down his own thoughts.
Daraus entstanden dann seine berühmten.
This then gives rise to his famous Rêverie du promeneur solitaire.
Jean-Jacques Rousseau hat in diesem Text die Träumereien eines einsam schweifenden
Spaziergängers. In this text, Jean-Jacques Rousseau used the word romantic for the first time, adding that the shores of Lake Biel were much more romantic than those of Lake Geneva.
Und damit sind wir in der Literatur.
This brings us to the same place in literature that we had reached before in art. Romanticism.
Das ist wirklich die Geburtsstunde eigentlich dann der Romantik, dieses Ausbrechen aus den Städten.
This is really the birth of Romanticism. This idea of escaping from the cities into nature, into this counterworld of nature, to experience free love, in other words, escaping the norms and rules, to dwell under a tree with one's lover, to feel free to reflect on one's being, on the meaning of life itself. Thus, the forest becomes a kind of counterplace, a place of yearning. This, of course, also raises the question, is literature able to convey this to the reader?
Oder anders gesagt, die Romantik ist der Beginn von.
Or to put it another way, romanticism is the beginning of what we today call nature writing, a new literary genre that goes beyond scientific writing about nature and attempts to narrate what we see, experience, and observe. And in these narratives, says Stefan Zweifel, the forest occupies a prominent place.
In den Märchen der Brüder Grimm ist zu beobachten, dass sie immer wieder das.
In the fairy tales of the Grimm brothers, it can be observed that they, time and again, use the word dark when describing woodlands. And in the course of writing these fairy tales, the forest becomes ever more important. Increasingly, the stories they included in their collection are situated in the forest. And this forest becomes darker and darker. In this classic fairy tale scenario, protagonists like Little Red Riding Hood or Hansel and Gretel get lost in the forest and are exposed to the evil forces residing there.
Andere, die setzen sich diesen Mächten des
Others
Waldes
deliberately expose themselves to these forces of the forest in order to write about them. Henry David Thoreau, for example.
Ja, Thoreau hat in seinem Leben ja diese Sehnsucht nach dem Wald wirklich dann auf.
Yes, Thoreau really took this yearning for the forest to the extreme by living in a lonely forest hut for 2 years, surrounded by nothing but nature. And of course, this total merging of man with nature in solitude is something he took to such a radical extreme that his book has become a new bestseller in recent years. And has also found many imitators who choose to live in the forest for a while and then process their experiences in literary form, in nature writing. This quite young literary genre, in which the point is not to describe nature in scientific terms, but to reflect it in language, from an inner experience.
Wieder andere allerdings suchen sich diesen Wald aus, um literarisch.
Others, however, choose the forest to roam through other literary realms.
Ein Gegenspieler von Jean-Jacques Rousseau bei Marquis de Sade, wenn dort.
In the works of Jean-Jacques Rousseau's counterpart, the Marquis de Sade, when men or women enter a forest, it invariably ends badly, usually with death and dismemberment. This counter-image of the forest as a threatening zone also runs through Frankenstein and numerous other stories.
Auch das bis heute. Aber
up to the present day. But then a third motif emerges that is central and important.
Die Wahrnehmung der Zerstörung.
The perception of the destruction of the forest as a literary motif.
Und dieses Motiv hat einer ganz prominent.
This motif was taken up and dealt with quite prominently by the German author W.G. Sebald.
Jedenfalls hat der eben ganz in der Tradition von Rousseau eigentlich diese zerstörerische Kraft der Zivilisation.
In the tradition of Rousseau, Sebald portrayed the destructive force of civilization, especially in The Rings of Saturn, a journey, a pilgrimage, so to speak, through England. He describes swarms of herrings that descend from the sky like a rain of ashes over the lakes and the sea. He then also covers the woodlands through which he passes, woodlands that are only remnants of the old forests that have been destroyed by civilization.
Bilder, die wir noch immer kennen,
images we are still familiar with, or to be more precise, images we see more and more often.
Es ist wirklich so, dass solange sozusagen
is it really true that as long as the forests burn, so to speak, man's passion also burns? And as it turns out, human passion is a destructive force. He describes this dialectical relationship, this dependency on the forest and on the power of wood, and the destruction of this power very melancholically and very forcefully.
Aber wie dem Wald, dem vollkommenen, dem
But how does one actually come to terms with the forest, the perfect as well as the destroyed forest, in language? The best way is through poetry, and someone who should know.
Schon Goethe sagte, er möchte über den Wald dichten.
Goethe said he wanted to write poetry about the forest as densely as the forest's thick undergrowth. An author who does this really beautifully today is Marion Poschmann.
Marion Poschmann,
Marion Poschmann, writer, lyric poet.
Die mit Nimbus kürzlich ein Gedicht
who recently wrote a book of poems called Nimbus, about the climate catastrophe, but without mentioning the term. It doesn't feature directly, but she actually manages to capture the alien, the strange, the forest of loneliness in language without becoming romantic.
Zu fassen.
Literatur, die sich in den Dienst einer Sache stellt, nicht direkt.
Literature that is committed to a cause, not directly in a militant political sense, but in the form of quiet but insistent encouragement to turn to the forests and to nature in general with warmth and affection. As Regula Moser also put it for the case of art.
Dieser politische Anspruch an die Kunst.
This political claim to art from the 60s and 70s is certainly still around.
Dennoch sehe ich nicht die Aufgabe der Künstlerinnen und Künstler darin, Lösungen für uns.
I think art can sharpen our perception. This means always trying to take aesthetics literally, as the ability to perceive and be touched. It also means being empathetic. Hopefully, this empathy will also lend us the power to act.
Im Wald, eine Kulturgeschichte. In dieser Episode ging es um Kunst und um Literatur und wie der Wald darin vorkommt.
Mit this Regula episode Moser, was about art and literature and how the forest features in it. With Regula Moser, art historian and curator at the Swiss National Museum, with the literary scholar Stefan Zweifel and the voices of Christoph Keller, Leslie Löw and Sam Amann.
Dieser Podcast ist zu hören in der Ausstellung und außerhalb.
This podcast is available in and beyond the exhibition, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever good podcasts are obtainable, as well as on the website of the Swiss National Museum. The podcast In the Forest, A Cultural History, is a production of Podcast Lab, www.podcastlab.ch.